Brothers and sisters, pray with me. O Lord, you have searched and known us. Where can we go from your spirit, and where can we run from your presence? Search us and know our hearts. Test us and know our thoughts and actions. Speak to us and through us, that your word may be known and way may be followed, through Christ, our Shepherd and Savior. Amen. Jesus presents three parables of individuals who lost something so precious, that they dropped everything, stopped their normal routine so that they could search for these items of enormous price. Parables that convey the crucial message that no one and nothing goes unnoticed in the heart, in the mind, and in the eyes of God. An important point I've discovered played out through the prayers that have been lifted up and the care that has been offered in this community of faith. These are parables about searching and discovering, parables about losing and finding, parables about feeling left out and fitting in. But fitting into what? As an aside, I find it fascinating that in this election year, the theme seems to be all about insiders and outsiders. And isn't it strangely wonderful and fascinating that this time around, the insider is an outspoken short woman, and the outsider is a male blue-eyed blonde billionaire. As Bob Dylan says, oh, the times, they are a-changing. They are truly changing for the better, I think. But I digress. As earlier mentioned, Jesus presents three parables about precious possessions that are lost and found. But only in two out of the three parables does the one who loses the lost item searches for it. This is because the third parable about the prodigal son, in this third parable, the seeker and the lost are one. Now, we commonly see the father in the parable of the prodigal son as God, who welcomes wayward sinners back into the divine home where they belong. Luke's gospel wishes the reader to understand that the father is the source of the children's prosperity and salvation. And his children, as the beneficiaries who need to open their eyes to their father's goodness. But many biblical scholars wonder if Jesus actually intended his parables to be so one-dimensional in their depiction of divine goodness. In this parable, they openly wonder if Jesus had intended the presence of God to abide solely in the one who held the purse strings. Psychotherapist and friend Dick Ford, in his book, The Parables of Jesus, asks the probing question, if Jesus is the creator of these parables, and if there is historical accuracy in accounts of his presence among social outcasts, then it would be curious indeed if his imagination excluded representation of God ever from being found among the economically oppressed. preferring instead to locate that presence exclusively among the powerful. Now, this is a very different approach to understanding the parables. It suggests that we approach them with a certain level of suspicion, not allowing ourselves to be lured into the conclusion of the gospel writer, but rather to draw our own conclusion by answering the question Jesus might have posed to his followers after sharing these parables. That question being, where is God, or where is the realm of God in this story about the wealthy man and slaveholder, by the way, who has a strained relationship with his sons? Where is God, or the realm of God, in the parable about the prodigal son? A modern-day interpretation might conclude that God is not in the Father because he did not prepare or empower either of his sons for service and self-sufficiency beyond his household. Everyone remained dependent upon the Father and the Lord of the manor in an unhealthy, debilitating sort of way. Prodigal, by the way, means wasteful. The parable of the prodigal son may more accurately be a story of a prodigal family, a wasteful family in need of reconciliation, which only occurs when each member recognizes the dignity, worth, and vital contribution of the other in the welfare of the entire household. Reconciliation occurs when all members of this household are mutually affirmed and no one attempts to control or deny the other. This particular parable is of a young man who seeks to find his identity independently of the father. We parents may readily identify with the father, but we may also identify with the son. For we know all too well that as we grow older, we shall struggle to preserve our independence and our identity separate of that of our children. Consider in closing the modern day parable of a daughter who tried to persuade her mother to come live with her. "Mom," she said, "now that Dad has died, it isn't good for you to live alone." But the mother refused. "No," she insisted, "I have always resisted the idea of living with any of my children. It causes many problems and too much tension." But the daughter kept trying. "That's true, Mom," she said, "but you're different now." To which the mother replied, "Yes, but you're not." Where is God in this particular story about mother and daughter? God may be analogous to the daughter who extends the hand of welcome and hospitality to the mother who, like the prodigal sinner, attempts to go her own way without God. However, God may also be analogous to the mother who refuses to enter the household of a daughter because she has not changed well enough to welcome her, even as many churches fail in their attempts to become a household that welcomes the presence of God. Then again, God may be that spirit that binds all wounds somewhere between, among, and about both mother and daughter, trying to welcome them home to each other. It is God who worries about us. It is God who searches for us. It is God who welcomes and embraces us all into one household for a banquet feast of spiritual abundance. When we are able to discover God's presence in the world household of humanity and creation, when we are able to discern God's presence in the welcoming household of Christ, then we will be able to hear the voice of God say, "You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It is therefore fitting to make merry and be glad, for you who were once dead are now alive. You who were once lost are now found." Amen.